Paul, how are you doing? Are you all right?
Hello, Dave. How are you?
I'm very good indeed. Paul Whittington is here. So if you're heading out tonight, basically, let's take a look at what's on the screens, the big ones that is this weekend, and have a look at the new DVD releases as well, if you do happen to be after staying in. And I might have to stay in to get used to getting up very early on a Sunday morning, because we're also here with you every Sunday day. Between 10 and 12. Yeah. Larry is going to be with you in about 16 minutes' time, but Paul, TV critic with the Irish Independent. Actually, I don't like to say that word critic, I hate it. TV fan.
Film
fan.
Yes.
And you write for the Irish Independent.
I do.
Yeah, this
I
word
do, and
critic.
I am a film fan. Yeah.
Anyway, tell me, what's happening in the cinemas?
Well,
this Grand Budapest Hotel, I believe it's great.
Well, I really like it. It depends on how you feel about Wes Anderson, to be honest. I mean,
some people don't. Sorry, yeah.
It's kind of, you know, bookish.
I know, great, and how whimsy and how crazy.
Let's bookish, look at whimsy, yeah. But yeah. I have to say, I think I love his films. He's unique, whatever you say about
no
him.
No question. No, I do like them. But I mean,
and
that last one, the Boy Scouts one, what was the called?
Moonrise Kingdom.
Moonrise Kingdom. Like, it got so internationally praised everywhere.
You
don't
like it.
I was all right, you know, after a while. It's just...
Well, then you may have a problem with this, but I
like The Royal Tenenbaums.
Yeah, that's a fantastic film. I love this film. It's inspired by the writings of Stefan Zweig. He was a Viennese Jewish writer between the wars. And it's kind of about this kind of middle Europe that disappeared when Hitler turned up to spoil the party. And it's he channels old Hitchcock, pre-war Hitchcock and Ernst Lubitsch and things like that. He creates this imaginary kingdom of Zubrowska, middle European kingdom, and there's this wonderful hotel there presided over by this legendary concierge played by Ralph Fiennes. And the film goes back and forth in time to tell the story of the guy who came to own the hotel and his friendship with the Ralph Fiennes character, who has a habit of falling in love with older rich women and inherits a fortune, which gets him into trouble. I think it's a beautifully made film. It's lovely, but again, you'll like it if you like Wes Anderson. This is
like, I mean, I'm thinking of Steve Zissou as well. Actually, now that I think about it, I did like it. Was he do Darjeeling?
He did.
I got a hit out of that too, so maybe I'm being a bit unfair.
That would be
here.
Considered one of his lesser films.
One of his worst,
but
yeah.
It was
no
charming,
question.
Yeah.
But
it's
the Boy Scouts one. What do you call it again? I've forgotten the name.
The Moonrise Kingdom.
Yeah, the Moonrise Kingdom. That
did
like.
Did you not find the bit where the little boy escaped from the scout camp by cutting a little hole through the back of his
tent? Scary stuff, the whole thing.
No?
Though, yeah, that was all scary was stuff. Funny. Though it was getting a bit weird after a while.
They're never that scary.
Oh, well, you know what I mean. Not really. Not, there's nothing really scary about it. But there is kind of, you know. I don't know. Yeah, whatever. And I presume what do you call him? Bill's in it, is he?
Yes, he is.
He's
of course,
all,
he has to be, or they just don't happen. But
did you see Bill Murray on Graham Norton?
I did. He was great.
Out there.
Really,
he
funny.
Was fantastic.
Really funny.
Yeah.
But this is Ralph Fiennes' film. People wouldn't consider him as being particularly good at light comedy, but he's really excellent in this film.
Does he have a little Hitler moustache? Did I see a picture of him? No.
Yeah,
no.
It wasn't. It's not a Hitler moustache.
Oh, sorry, excuse
Dave. It's
me.
A sort
sorry.
Of. It's like a Clark Gable moustache.
Oh,
big
right.
Difference.
Okay. Big difference. Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Fair enough. It's not exactly Tom Selleck either. But there you go.
No.
It's more Marty. No, it's not. Okay, now Grand Budapest Hotel is thumbs up completely.
Yeah, very absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, go on. Or would you say Budapest?
Budapest, yeah, would you? I'd say that, yeah. I would. We have 300 Rise of an Empire, 7 years after 300, which some people love, the Zack Snyder film that had these extraordinary special effects that. Made it look almost like a graphic novel.
Yeah, graphic novel
based
stuff,
on,
yeah.
And it was based on these Frank Miller books that were based on the Greco-Persian Wars, basically, and all that stuff. And people loved it. I didn't love it. I thought it was kind of horrible to look at, but it was distinctive. This is the sequel. 7 years later, and it happened simultaneously with Thermopylae when Leonidas and the Spartans are heroically dying. At the same time, this guy called Themistocles, is played by Sullivan Stapleton, is trying to get the Greek city-states to combine to stop Xerxes and the Persian invasion. And it's very like the other in the sense that there's loads of battles where people leap over each other and eviscerate each other and, you know, guts fly at the camera and all that kind of stuff. And it in a cartoonish way. This is based around a big sea battle, the Battle of Artemisium, and so the sea scenes are great. It gets a bit boring at times, but the only reason it doesn't get totally boring is Ava Green, who is terrific in it. She plays, she's the only person who plays an actual character in it. She's Artemisia, who is a disillusioned Greek person, Dave, who leads the Persian navy against the Greeks. And she's great in it, and she looks great in it, and she brings life to it. If you liked 300, this is going to be fine.
Well, it's funny to say that. Now, I will not be going to Rise of the Empire. I hated 300.
Yeah.
That stuff went, I mean, like, the easiest way out of all these things is it went right over my head. No, I actually really disliked it.
Yeah.
I don't get any of it. I just,
well, they obviously take a very cartoonish
view. I mean, somebody does. They just made a second one. It probably cost a lot of money. Is it the same kind of, as you say, like that, I don't know, that
yes, it is, yeah.
Comic-y
it's,
book.
It's, what's it called? It's superimposition chroma key.
I knew that.
Is what they do. I had to remind myself.
Superimposition chroma key.
Yeah, and it is an extraordinary effect, and it does it. Although it's been obviously it's been replicated in other films since the first one, but this isn't entertaining. It's very violent, but in a cartoonish way. You know, lots of blood, lots of pumped up, rather camp looking Greek warriors and so on. Yeah, everybody seemed grounded in their pelts.
And lots of shouting as well. Back to all the troops.
Lots of shouting. But then there's Ava Green, and she is great.
Well, okay, Ava Green, I'll look out for that. Yeah. Who is the what again? What is she in it?
She is, hang on a second, don't catch. She's Artemisia. Artemisia.
That's right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just in case
anyone Greek, but fighting for the Persians, in case
right.
you forget.
Okay, yeah. Fighting against austerity. Okay, now the stag.
We have an Irish film this week, And. It is it is about a stag party, which would immediately make you think of The Hangover, but it's quite a different film than that. It's kind of a sweeter film than that. John Butler directed and I think co-wrote it as well. Hugh O'Connor plays Fionnán, this shy young Dublin fellow who's about to marry his sweetheart, played by Amy Huberman. And when the best man comes back, who's played by Andrew Scott, who people will remember from the Sherlock things as Moriarty, he's a very interesting actor. Ruth, your man's bride-to-be tells him she's worried about how involved he's getting in the wedding plans and would they not organise a stag. So they organise what they think is going to be this sedate walking holiday in the Wicklow Hills. But her, the bride's-to-be's brother, the machine, as he's called, played by Peter MacDonald, turns up and he is kind of a bit of a macho man and they're all afraid of him. And so the thing becomes a bit of a shambles. It was made for not very much money and very quickly, and it kind of pulls it off in a way. Like it's, I found it very funny at times, and it's a sort of sweet film. It's more of a romantic comedy than a farce, like the other thing to which it is compared. So I liked it. I think it's worth giving
and
a go.
The cast,
good
on the,
date film
on the Late Late last night. I see the ads in the paper today too. It's got quotes from lots of reviews and all that stuff. It's making it look like it's the greatest movie ever. So.
Well,
you wouldn't
No, it's not. It's a modest film in some ways. It's a sweet romantic comedy,
good.
But it has a nice contemporary feel to it. To the way they go on and the way they talk, they're quite believable.
Right.
And once they get up into the hills, it is pretty.
And actor wise, everybody commits themselves.
Yeah, Peter MacDonald, who co-wrote it, is great as the machine because he's not such a fool as he initially seems, and both Hugh O'Connor and Andrew Scott are very good. Andrew Scott in a very different role than people are used to seeing him play. You know, he's in a totally non-sinister role.
And the key is often with these things in the writing, and it's thumbs up, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely, right. yeah. It's a nice
Okay,
film.
Well, that's The Grand Budapest Hotel, 300 Rise of an Empire,
yes.
and The Stag, which is the Irish movie. That's in terms of the big screen, out of home,
yes.
at home, what's
yes.
out?
And, well, Gravity is the big one just out, and I assume a lot of people went to see it on the big screen
for the 3D and all the rest of it.
You saw it in the IMAX, didn't you? I saw it there.
No, I saw it in 3D, but not on the IMAX. No,
I thought it was an extraordinary film. It was definitely between that and 12 Years a Slave for best film, and in terms of pure. Filmmaking. It could have been a silent film, and you would have been able to follow it.
It was. I'm not on the Gravity gravy train necessarily. That story is a bit naff, frankly. And much as I like Sandra now and again, I can
I thought it was. It was compelling. I just wonder how it would be on the small screen. I don't know. Now, people have very big televisions these days. Of course, they have massive things the size of their living room walls, and on those it
would
work.
I suppose, like, on the small screen, it's going to be more exposed as to what the story might be in that, and then the story suddenly gets bigger, maybe, because you're into the idea of being in space.
Well, the story is a simple survival story. It could be, she could be in a raft in the Amazon. It doesn't
have
to
be. Did you see All Is Lost with Robert Redford?
I did.
Okay, well, All Is Lost happens at sea.
I like
the exact
that
same thing.
Lot,
yes, like the exact same thing that happens in Sandra Bullock in space.
It's does, and in a way at sea you get the same kind of, you know, sort of existential terror that you get in space.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that the two, for those who don't know what it's about these two astronauts who get basically their repairing part of their
George
shuttle.
Is like a stand-up comedian in it.
He is. He provides light relief in it, and their shuttle gets fatally damaged by flying debris, and they're stuck up there. And she doesn't know what to do. Or they don't know what to do, rather. But I found it interesting that they kept talking all the time as if to fill the space, and they kept looking towards the earth, but when they looked behind them, it was this terrifying, you know, abyss.
You see, there you are talking about it the way it really should be seen.
Yes.
The man got the Oscar for the way it should be seen.
Yes.
And all the rest, Framestore did all the things so the way it should be seen.
Yes.
The problem is, you're looking at something like Now, which is you're recommending tonight that it's out on DVD.
Yes.
And do you think you're going to miss something bloody right, you are?
I think you are. I think this is one of those films. It's a bit like the Stanley Kubrick film, which most people have only seen on television.
Yeah.
I mean, that which completely loses. So does this, in a way. Perhaps I haven't seen it on small.
So a lot of the time, if you only go to one movie a year, if you only go out to one or two movies a year, you kind of not necessarily should be going to the ones that people are necessarily talking about. You should be going to the ones that are so cinematic that they need to be seen.
Yeah, you should be specific about it, because 12 Years a Slave, for instance, I don't think it would lose very much at all on the small screen. It's an amazing drama, but it's a drama. And
that's not out, by the way, on DVD. Just
not for a little while.
Yeah, I was in the front row of a cinema watching that one. Holy assaulted.
Yeah.
Okay, so Gravity is the movie that, I know everybody thinks it's great, and fair play.
He won Best Director, Alfonso Cuarón. I think that was right.
I wouldn't be against that.
Directed.
Just in terms of what he can use to what's available in 2014 to a great filmmaker.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons why.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And I do think that sometimes when people look back at the great directors of the 40s and 50s, they give their eye teeth to have what's available now to some of these guys, because they would have fucking
loved it.
The
technology, but then there's
William
the argument.
The ones who show the Big West and all
but
the
But then
rest
there's the argument that, when people become ingenious when they don't have, you know, that if you have too many toys, that the filmmaking becomes less ingenious.
Yeah.
Which happens a lot.
Yeah. Okay, so what else is out in DVD?
Thor, The Dark World.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've seen Thor, The Dark World. I've had enough. I'm sorry. I've just had enough, you know. Like, I didn't know, for the first half hour of it now, mother of God.
Well, I agree with you entirely about that. It was the old Game of Two Halves, because it was very dull at the beginning. The first part, they set up the grievance of the main villain.
It lost me at hello.
Who was really humorless, kind of boring person. But then it got really good as soon
as... Well, it got better.
Tom Hiddleston came in. It was great fun, and they went to London, and it was, you know... It is part of the ever-expanding Avengers franchise, which is they're trying to chasing their tails to keep up with the
film.
Well,
I presume they'll have Avengers Assembled too, because that was the most successful movie
they are
in 3 or 4 years.
But
when they're all in together. And don't forget, Iron Man was not an offshoot from it, because Iron Man was out before the Avengers
thing.
That was the
start of it.
But the Iron Man 3 was the biggest movie of last year in terms of money at the box office.
It was.
And money talks.
And coming soon to a cinema near you, Dave, is Captain America, the next part of Captain America.
Yeah, I saw Captain America the first one. Yeah,
in a couple of weeks.
I have to be very nice to this, because a good friend of mine worked on both Thor and Captain America. And, you know, cameraman, like,
well, I thought that Thor the Dark World was well made. And it has a sense of humour, and if you sit through,
by the way, you better
say
The Dark World being Thor, because they have all these stupid titles. It sounds like a Batman there.
Oh yeah,
so Thor The Dark World is the one we're talking about now, which is Thor 2.
It has Thor in it.
Thor 2. It's very difficult
to say. Lots of Thor.
Yeah. I must say, I do like your man, the main guy, isn't he? Yeah, he was in the Rush movie, wasn't he?
Chris Hemsworth. Yeah. he's perfectly cast, but I think Tom Hiddleston is the great thing about these films, and he was the best person in the Avengers film as well.
All right, can I just say, by the way, if you haven't seen Rush, which is already out on DVD, surely.
It was out at just about 3 weeks ago,
and it's a lovely movie. It's one of the better movies of 2013, and you'd be well forever to get that.
And it would lose nothing either on the small screen.
That was a very enjoyable movie.
It was, indeed.
Yeah. As
was
all your man's movies are. Right, Larry's coming up. Oh, sorry, I'm not supposed to say that next first, get out, Paul. Sorry, that's what I meant to say first.
I will.
Very bad manners. Okay, Paul Whittington, film fan from the Irish Independent, and movie fan and all the rest of it too, in terms of TV, etc. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dave.
All right, good luck.